This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal.
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
Okay, it is indeed time for another edition of Startup Nation Radio. Listen, this is the show to learn about how to start and grow your dream business. And if you're looking for funding, how do you find funding? We all want to know how to find the funding. You could go out and talk to angel investors or venture capitalists or maybe banks. Or how about going on the hit TV show Shark Tank and pitching some investors on that show? Well, we've got two local entrepreneurs who did just that. Stay tuned to find out how they did it and whether or not they got the funding. Stick with us on this edition of Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, really cool show ahead. We're going to be talking to a couple of entrepreneurs who pitched the sharks on the hit TV show Shark Tank. It's going to be really interesting to hear how all that came down, maybe even hear a little bit about what goes on behind the scenes, and we'll find out whether or not they got the funding. Well, before we get to that, call out to our great sponsors, Comerica Bank and Pappas Financial. Now, Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for businesses to set their succession plans and investment strategies. Get started right and stay on track. And to help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to them at 248-539-8292. And speaking of Pappas Financial, we've got the one and only Norm Pappas in studio co-hosting the show today. Norm, hey.
Yeah, glad
to
be here.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. You've probably watched with interest on the Shark Tank show and heard some of those ideas and wondered whether or not they'd be meritorious of getting funding. And it's interesting stuff.
We like it. We watched our guests, Tony and Josh, on TV when they were there.
There you go. Well, you're teeing up, so let's bring them right on with no further ado. Norm, why don't you make the introductions?
Well,
we got Tony Fain.
Yeah.
And we've got Josh Kaplan.
They have a very interesting company.
Yeah.
They made a great presentation.
Yeah. Don't tell how they did.
I'm not.
Okay,
Their mothers are listening, we learned. Our mothers are listening.
Yeah.
Susie and Amy are in the studio here.
We all would have given the funding without a doubt, right?
Norm, absolutely.
You'd have been right there. Okay. All right, good. Well, listen, with no further ado, guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Norm. Yeah,
we appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So, listen, you guys created this new company, and tell us about it. Tell us what it does, and then we'll get into the Shark Tank.
Sunscreen Mist is a patented sunscreen spray vending machine that makes accessibility to sunscreen more convenient and easier for everyone around the world.
So this is a product where you spray on a suntan.
Well, we have two machines. We have spray guns that can be activated by simply swiping a credit card or placing a few dollars in the machine. And then we actually have a booth for people that are at a hotel pool or a cruise ship where they're wearing a bathing suit and they can't reach their back and they swipe their credit card or charge it to the room and they get a full body mist in just seconds.
It sounds cool. Yeah. And so your pitch, before we get into how it went on Shark Tank, the essence of, give us the pitch, if you would. I mean, so Norm and I are the investors now. We're the sharks.
Sure. So it's actually a very simple concept. It's all about increasing point of access for sunscreen and making it easier for people to apply sunscreen.
So this is sunscreen, sunscreen, right? Got it.
Absolutely. Okay. So who leaves their house without having sunscreen in their pocket? Probably almost everybody does. And the whole point of wearing sunscreen is you have to reapply it. If you're not reapplying sunscreen every hour and a half to 2 hours, you're really not protecting yourself, and you're leaving yourself exposed to possible dangers like skin cancer. So it's a very common sense pitch. When you have a business that just simply makes sense, you have to go to investors and you have to pitch your business. But while you're pitching, it doesn't need to be overly complicated. Who in this room applied sunscreen today?
Right.
I'm willing to say that probably none of us did. Well, if there was a machine outside of your studio today, we probably would have on the way in or on the way out from.
But I mean, that's not that practical because you got to. I mean, I could put it on my face, but I can't what am I doing? I'm literally going into this booth and I
sure, so,
take my shirt off and it sprays. I mean, you know, how practical is that? Who's going to do that?
The type of machine that you would use is actually our station. And it's a purified water and aloe base, so it doesn't stain your clothing, anything like that. So you would just spray any of your exposed skin areas, whether it be your face, your arms, your hands, your legs, if you can't on the golf course, or you name it. So that's really what it's about. So it's about being able to monetize our sunscreen machines, whether it be a booth or station. And there's so many different ways to make money with it, whether it's people selling advertising on the machines, whether it's an entrepreneur buying a machine and starting a business and making money per swipe.
Let me ask you, but the core of the business is the swipe. It's the user putting their credit card in and wanting to get the sunscreen, right?
Absolutely.
And so what does that cost?
So it depends on the entrepreneur that owns the machine and where it's placed. So if you're at a pool in Las Vegas and you're going to put on sunscreen, it'll probably cost you the same amount as a water bottle, closer to $5. But in a municipality or anywhere else where water's $1, it's probably closer to $1 for your sunscreen as well.
And so I, as a consumer, would pay $1. I get my sunscreen, and then you're distributing this through, it's almost like a vending machine kind of concept, right?
Correct.
You've got distributors. Yep.
Yeah,
Tony, you want to jump in?
What's interesting, we have a vending operation concept, but what's great about our business is it can be sold. I personally have sold our machines, even though they are the vending business. So they're looked at as an amenity. They're a great experience. People have a lot of fun getting into the booth. And remember, when you're wearing a bathing suit, it takes just seconds to receive a full body mist, sure. So it's exciting.
Sure. So the revenue model for your business then is actually either selling the machine, or it is getting a percentage of the swipes, you know, the right? Or are they paying a fee to license, and, you know, what's the relationship between you and the vendor?
So there's a few different aspects of the business. You hit the primary. The other channels that we make money, though, is both advertising and the machines. For example, there's legislation right now called PASS that's just increasing point of access to sunscreen. Miami and Boston are two of the first major cities to sign on. So they have dispensers actually on their beaches. How many people do you know that can advertise on Miami Beach or on South Beach? It's an advertiser's dream. So that's another huge channel of revenue that we're presenting.
That's secondary,
with our machines.
Right? I mean,
it's always secondary. It's about common sense business. It's about protecting people. People will buy their sunscreen at a drugstore or you name it.
Are you making a cut off of the guy who either licenses or is some sort of vendor relationship with you?
Sure. So our sunscreen is proprietary.
Yeah.
So wherever we have our machines, whether it's a revenue split model or whether we've actually sold a machine, they have to buy their sunscreen from us.
In order for it to work in that machine.
Absolutely.
Because it probably comes in some sort of special dispenser, right? Is that
it's an ultra fine mist. It's wonderful.
So you have to, right. Okay. So you guys went on and pitched Shark Tank. When we come back, Norm, we want to hear what they're looking for in terms of financing, and then let's find out how they did.
We also should see how they thought of this idea and how many people are competing against you.
Yeah, so, and what's the competition for this? That's great, Norm. Okay, so we're going to come back and do just that in the next segment. So we're going to find out if they got the funding. And you know what? Whether they did or didn't on that show, maybe we could, Norm, if they didn't or if they need more, we might even be able to lead them to some sources, right?
Yeah, we'll see who they liked and didn't like, too.
It's a great local entrepreneurial story, and we're going to find out how these guys are doing and what's next for these guys. So stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Startup Nation on WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, talking to a couple of entrepreneurs today with Norm Pappas, co-host in studio. Norm, we're hearing about a couple of guys who had the nerve to get up there in front of America and pitch their idea. And boy, that's talk about putting it all out there.
Yeah, before we get into that, let's find out, how did you guys think of this idea and who competes with you?
Well, Norm, in 2006, a very close friend of mine was diagnosed with skin cancer at age 30. And as an entrepreneur, it really woke me up to go to the drawing board and patent a machine that would allow people to access sunscreen much more easier and much more convenient.
And then Tony brought the concept to us over at Supplyline International. And when Tony brought it in, we're all very connected to causes. I happen to sit on the board of Kids Kicking Cancer, and it was a concept that, again, it was a simple concept that could save so many lives and in the process make everybody a lot of money. So we sat down and we knew we had to be involved with it. And then we moved forward and then came Shark Tank and everything else.
So did Shark Tank come, I'm just curious to know, did Shark Tank come because you were looking for funding or was it more of the novelty of it? Or was it that you wanted to expose, you know, take advantage of the national audience to expose the product, whether you got the funding or not? What was really driving you to
Absolutely.
Go to Shark Tank?
So the number one concern was accessibility. For us, we wanted people to understand who we were, what we were doing. So that was number one. Number two is funding for a business. There's a lot of different sources.
Right, right.
It wasn't
right.
the only source that we had.
Right, right.
We looked at that as a great bonus.
Uh-huh.
Really what we wanted from the show is a strategic partner, is somebody that had had the ability to cut the curve of time that it takes to get places.
Mm-hmm.
Large corporations, whether it be hotels or resorts or anything like that, that was really the meat of what we wanted from the show.
Okay.
It's a fun thing to do. I'm sure your families all enjoyed it. So in the world of competition, who else is doing what you're doing, or what's the unique selling proposition that you have?
So that's the best part. We own a patent on the concept of the machine, basically. So the delivery system of how sunscreen could be applied through a mist. That's our patent. So there really isn't any proper competition in the marketplace. And then who are we competing with? We're competing with hotel boutiques that are selling $25 bottles of sunscreen. So that takes price out of the equation, too. People really don't travel with sunscreen.
Well, you are really competing. I mean, to me, I was thinking about it. You are competing, in my mind anyway, with someone carrying, I don't know how much about a thing of a little tube of sunscreen costs, but $5, $10? I mean, you are competing with that. You know, I mean, in a way, you awaken people's senses to the need because you've got this machine out there and they could choose that, or they could just choose to, excuse me, be reminded by what you're doing and maybe just go to the drugstore and buy it and carry it and use it. I mean, that is competition, no question. That's an alternative to what you're doing.
If we create that competition by our product, we're happy to do so because it's addressing what our primary problem is, what our concern is.
But you're in this as a for-profit business. I mean, it's wonderful. It's always great, and it's a driving force when you're really passionate for a lot of personal or emotional reasons. That just adds fuel to the fire in terms of that drive towards success. But you're in this as a business.
Absolutely. And on the business side of things, we always feel that convenience will win over somebody carrying that bottle of sunscreen in their pocket. If a certain percentage of people do, great. We still feel where our machines are going to be and where people will have access to it. It's the convenience factor. And on top of that, you can't travel with aerosol cans. And if you're forced to buy one at a hotel or amusement
park, the aerosol can,
you're going to end up paying just so much more money for it, especially when you're somewhere for 2 or 3 days it doesn't make sense for them.
Well, I love the idea when I hear you talk about like poolside and everything else. I mean, that seems like a natural to me. That seems like where it has great application. Yeah,
that's a great point, Jeff, because it is an additional profit center for these hotels besides being this luxurious amenity. But let's not lose sight of the fact that 1 in 5 people will be diagnosed with a skin cancer in their life.
Yeah.
And this is preventable. It just needs reapplication. The FDA recommends 30 minutes before you go out, apply, and then at least every 2 hours. I reapply every hour in the hot sun.
Wow.
But as long as we reapply, we can prevent this.
All right, so let's...
You know, both Tony and Josh don't have any wrinkles on their foreheads.
Yeah, there you go,
But they're young guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I said to Josh, you know, cruise lines might be interesting. You know,
that's a good idea, Norm.
You know, captive audiences there for your product.
That's a heavy target for us. Absolutely, Norm.
That's good. Yeah. So listen, so everyone's dying to know. You go on to Shark Tank. First, before we even find out how you did, how did you get on to Shark Tank?
So it's just like anybody else. You have interest in a show, and you go and you learn about it, and there's an application process you go through, fill out a package, and you go through a process. They do a great job of leading you through it. Small percentage of people get on the show, but if you don't get up to bat, then you never have a shot of being there.
Do you have to do a video or anything of you? Because, you know, part of it is the idea, the business idea, the merits of it, and part of it is the entrepreneurs will be delivering the pitch. And I guess they probably look at this in part for its, you know, merits as a good business and good pitch, but they probably also look at it candidly as, you know, is this going to be good entertainment?
They definitely look at all of those facets,
So you guys make this application. Did you say you submit a video or no?
Yeah.
Do you do a sample pitch?
It's one of the facets. You send them your likeness, your videos, your questionnaires, and everything else. And
all of a sudden you're sitting around one day and what, a letter comes?
It's an ongoing process, so you know, you get find out that they're interested, and you keep going through the process, and hopefully you make it on the show.
And you guys did.
And the show's in Los Angeles. So they asked you to go on the show, then what happens?
So you go and you film, and you before that, really what the core is, though, is you have to prepare. Going on national TV in front of 10 million people, you want to make sure that you're poking holes at your business before anybody else is, and that you're filling those holes before you get there. So it really forces you to analyze every nook and cranny of your company. So the last thing you want is something exposed that maybe you weren't even aware about before you got there.
Did you guys do some practice pitching in front of virtual investors?
Countless and countless.
Yeah, and you want to make sure it's not your mom, right? Because that's not going to get you. That was great. Your mom's going to tell you. But the reality is these guys are tough, aren't they? They don't call them sharks for nothing.
They are. They are, and you respect what they did to get to the seats that they're sitting in. And the last thing you want to do is have them expose a part of your personality or your business that you don't want people to see.
You know, they're always trying to teach lessons. What lessons did you take from that experience?
So personally, I'll let Tony respond after me, but personally, the lessons that I learned was that no matter how prepared you are to pitch for that type of panel, and no matter how you feel that you're unnerved by that type of situation,
I can only imagine
that once you're on set, it may be a slightly different story. With that said, you got to be able to take a punch on the chin and get back up and keep pitching, keep going. Always be selling, always look for the opportunity. And that's really what makes an entrepreneur anyways. So we were happy to have the opportunity and to do the pitch. Would we do anything different? I mean, you always look back and you always say you'd prepare more, you do this, you do that. But no, we believe in our company, we believe in our concept, and we know we can help a lot of people while making great profits, and that's what it's about for us.
And how much money were you guys looking for from the sharks?
We were looking for $400,000.
Uh-huh. And your deal was $400,000 got them what in your company?
Got them 15%.
Uh-huh. And what stage is the company in right now? You're in market?
We are. Recently in market, but yes. We did a proof of concept all around the world. We actually launched outside of the United States first to really go through the evolution of our product, phase one, phase two, phase three. And now we've launched in the United States. We're actually going to be announcing a very large media partnership here in the very, very near future. You'll start to see us at a lot of national events, and it's the start of our business. We're on the launch pad.
That's really cool. Well, I think without further ado, let's find out. So you guys did this pitch. You asked for the $400,000. You were going to give the 15% equity in your business in return. And what happened?
We got a unanimous no. They didn't feel that our business was far enough along in the process for them to invest. And that's okay, because we still gained so much from the opportunity and from the show. And from the criticisms of
yeah,
the
sure.
Sharks.
So let's break that down. First, who was the first to say no? So you gave your pitch. The Sharks then asked some questions, right? And how'd it go? Tell us how who said what that was interesting, and who said no first?
You know, I really don't remember who said no first. But with that said, it's definitely a fire. It's a kitchen. So
yes,
you're going back and forth,
pan.
And
yeah.
And you're spitting information back right. And forth. You've got everybody. You want to appease everybody. So you're trying to answer every question. You're trying to do everything you can to get that deal. But after the show, you realize that you're not answering questions to really get a deal. You're answering questions to learn more about your business and to make sure they're our answers to their questions.
Well, here, let's be candid. You wanted the money. And not only did you want the money, you wanted the partnership that came with a Mark Cuban, a Barbara Kramer. I mean, you know, you want that, right?
Sure.
So you wanted that. There's no doubt about it. But the cool thing about that show is, even in the absence of getting that, like you said, you're in front of 10 million people, but some of which are users ultimately of your product, some of which could be strategic partners, maybe some could be buyers of the product. And, you know, so there's a lot of other kinds of value that comes out. And you mentioned the feedback you get, the pushback is valuable. Tony.
Great platform, Jeff. It was a national platform to raise awareness how important it is to protect your skin from the sun's dangerous damage. And we're thankful that we're going to be partnering with the American Cancer Society for Relay for Life and all sorts of other exciting announcements we're going to be making in the next 14 days.
That's a sign of a great entrepreneur. Here we are talking about him getting his you-know-what kicked by those sharks on Shark Tank, and he's already talking about the great partnership he's forging with it. That's beautiful. I love that.
No, Tony's been consistent with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it takes, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't get your nose bloody and go home. I mean, if you're going to do it, this is part of the process. Well, more to come. We're gonna drill down even further. I want to hear what some of the pushback was specifically. Why we think specifically we got to know on Shark Tank. And then we're going to find out where you're going to get the funding now in the absence of the Shark Tank opportunity. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream.
By taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back today on Startup Nation. Talking to a couple of entrepreneurs who pitched their idea on the hit show Shark Tank, and they didn't get the money. But God, these guys feel good. You guys feel good. I mean, you know, you got some value out of it. You do it again, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
even
absolutely.
With no money. Yeah.
You know, one of the things, and you'll get to more of the Shark Tank, but everybody has a big value proposition. And what is your big value proposition, and who are the best customers for you?
So what we found so far, and we've done a lot of proof of concept in all different kinds of markets, but when a parent tries to apply sunscreen to their children, it's normally a half-hour battle that involves usually running a marathon to catch them. And we prevent that. We make applying sunscreen fun. So not only are we protecting people, but we're solving a headache that so many people have. And Tony, do you see the same? What do you think?
Absolutely. Any place where people are going to be enjoying themselves under the sun. And, you know, unfortunately, people aren't taking maybe as many vacations throughout the year. So when they are on vacation, they're really enjoying themselves and they're really smiling and they're really having a great time under the sun. Unfortunately, though, that's when the damage occurs. So again, we can prevent this. We just have to remember to reapply, and that's where we're coming in.
That's a great angle with children. What about the age of children? Is there any age you can't? What can you start it at?
No, our product serves everybody. It's a very good formulation of sunscreen. So it's a water and aloe vera base, and it's not skin damaging. We don't add alcohol like some competitors do, or witch hazel, or anything like that. So it's safe for all ages.
Well, I want to know, you guys didn't get the money from the Sharks on Shark Tank, but what do you think was the pushback? You know, you go onto that show, and there's an element of it that's probably the quality of the pitch. There's an element of it that maybe familiarity with the product and, you know, them knowing whether or not they can really bring value beyond their dollars in certain cases. And then, of course, there's the merits of the business, you know. And so you guys asked for the money, you didn't get it. Why do you think, what do you think the Achilles heel was more than anything as to why you didn't get it?
So in my opinion, and again, this is purely my opinion, we're a business-to-business model. And I believe to get the Sharks to invest in a business-to-business model, you just have to be a little bit further along than we were when we were on the show. And timing is everything. But with that said, the impact, I mean, we've seen triple-digit growth in terms of our visibility and who's watching us and who we're talking to because of it.
Yeah.
So if you were to ask me, the sole reason was is strictly a matter of time.
You know, I think that's a good answer. But I, as you and I talk, Josh, I think you should go back to Mark Cuban. With Tony, the new things you're talking about, the partnerships you're doing, his Six Flags should be using this. And I wouldn't give up on them. I'd go back at them again.
Oh, we're entrepreneurs. The last thing we do is give up. So each one of those sharks, our goal would be to have a conversation in the future with all of them. We saw that each and every one of them had something to offer to Sunscreen Mist originally. And that's why we wanted to be on the show. So if the Sharks are listening, hopefully they know we're not going anywhere.
And what would you say to them now? Tony, you were about to say.
It was just that I don't know if everyone understood the vending operation as clear, because they seem to really embellish upon the retail aspect. When we use MAP pricing or MSRP for our vending operators, and a lot of our vending operators simply don't sell these, they just place them as vending machines. And I think that concept got a little lost in our presentation.
Yeah. You know what I think, though? You guys touched on, you know, to sum it up, you felt that if you had proof of concept in the way of actual business being done, revenues generated from your business, that you would have a much better chance of getting the money. And of course, it's a bit of a paradox, a chicken and the egg situation, whatever you want to call it, in that entrepreneurs need the money in order to get the sales. And then, you know, in the competitive environment of getting money, if you've got sales, it helps you get the money. And so I think that's a key highlight to call out. If entrepreneurs who are pitching, whether it's on Shark Tank or whether it's to an angel, whether investor or venture capitalist, if you can demonstrate traction in the market, it really, you know, I tend to find that, especially looking forward with new ideas, innovative ideas, there's not a lot of experts out there. These are all judgment calls. You know, there are certainly some things that you can, you know, look at as benchmarks and parameters that can help you make a sound decision. But in the end, it's really guessing. I mean, so many things make it to market and do well that we wouldn't expect that they would. I've seen it over and over again. And so if you can demonstrate sales, it really takes the steam out of any argument about whether or not it's a good business idea, right? I mean, as long as, again, there's profit, all the fundamentals are in line. If you've got revenue, so that I'd really, if entrepreneurs can find a way to get out there and get some money early on, validating the marketplace, boy, that's, Norm, you're an angel investor.
Yeah.
When you hear that.
Sure.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's about execution, and that's what you're talking about. And the more execution you have in advance, the more people are willing to make the investment.
Sure, of course. So would you recommend, I mean, you know, having gone through what you went through, would you recommend, I mean, let's say some entrepreneurs find you guys talking at a conference, whatever it may be, about your experience, would you recommend it to others? If someone said, you know, should I try it?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, if you don't go up to the batter's box, you're never going to hit the ball. So entrepreneurial drive, banks and investors and even sharks don't always give that enough credit inside of somebody's pitch. There has to be something else there. But that drive gets you your sales. It gets you in front of the sharks. It gets you in front of angel investors. And without that, you shouldn't be an entrepreneur unless you're willing to take that on the chin. You have to be able to do that.
Yeah. We should hear from you guys. What's your next step?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Good question. Yeah.
You know, where's the next sale, those sales that Jeff's talking about, where are they going to come from?
Well, and did you get the money? Or are you going to get the money?
So the money was always secondary. Money, of course, we're happy to speak about investment and equity investment. But it's all about strategy. And that's really why we were there, is we wanted a strategic partner, chicken or the egg concept, as you were discussing. So how to get a large corporate partner and all of that. And what we have done since the show is we have engaged large corporate partners. Mm-hmm. That's one of the announcements we will be making. But with that said, once you have those corporate partners, well, now you have visibility. Now you have a target audience that not just likes the idea and wants to prevent skin cancer and make sunscreen more convenient, but now you have the ability to actually spray people with sunscreen. And how many sprays are you doing? What's the ratios? How much have you increased profits for a hotel or an amusement park? And that's the next step for us, is we need a pen to paper and be able to present those numbers so that way we have it to back us up and back up the business model.
And we're also working with large corporations on custom designing and fabricating machines to look just the way they want them. For instance, a big golf ball manufacturer is working with us to make a life-size golf ball that has some spray handles so people can get their protection on the golf course really easy and brand themselves at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you make me think about the gas station TV concept of advertising. And you, Josh, talked about that earlier. The more appealing for advertisers, the better you're going to do.
Sure. I mean, imagine a Las Vegas pool at a hotel. They're all about advertising, whether it be their restaurants, their shops, whether it be their nightclubs, their shows, you name it. So we offer a tool that not only protects their patrons, makes them money, but also increases their visibility for all of their other profit centers. It just makes sense.
Yeah. So I got to ask, on a personal level, I'm always curious about how entrepreneurs are able to pick themselves up and keep going when you get knocked down. You know, and these are always the great stories you read about in the success trajectory, looking back, you know, in hindsight on a great success story. You hear how they got through this challenge or that challenge and they got knocked down. It seemed insurmountable and they still charged through. Not only didn't you get the money, but you also had five smart investors say no to you. When you went to bed that night, did you say, I wonder if our idea isn't a good one?
No.
You know, did you question yourself at all? You had five smart people who've made it in business tell you no.
Not at all. No, no. In fact, we were inundated with an outpouring of people that absolutely were, they were shocked at what they saw. They were confused, but they were absolutely obsessed with this idea. And it's led to the biggest explosion in our business that we could ever imagine. But more importantly, when I was listening to the sharks, I didn't understand what they were saying. And they made it like sunscreen wasn't important and they didn't need to apply. I think one of them said they didn't need to apply it. So we absolutely were, it was the best honor and privilege to have been up there. We would do it over and over. And we were there, very thankful for that opportunity.
When you're in a fight and you get hit, you say, I'm going to go to bed, but I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And as an entrepreneur, you have to have that spirit that you're going to wake up tomorrow. You had five investors. You can pick it apart 100 different ways on why they didn't invest. What could you have said to get them to go into their pockets and really believe into your product? But afterwards, that doesn't really matter. What matters is that you're going to make a success of your company, your product, your patent, and that you're not going to throw away the time that you put into the process either.
You know what? That's a perfect close to this story. That was a great story.
Yeah.
What a great way to put the bow on it. That was really well said. Well, good. Well, listen, you guys, we're going to track your progress. We'll have you back on. We're going to find out, did you get the funding? Did you get to market? Let's check back maybe 6 months, a year from now, and see how you guys are doing.
We'd love to. We appreciate the opportunity.
And we'll rejoice together in showing those five guys that they were wrong. Right?
Maybe they could be in studio with us.
We'd love it. Or maybe we can get them on the line. We might be able to do that.
We'd love to partner with them.
Well, there we go. All right. Well, we may reach back out to them when we've got some sales to show that they were wrong. This is great stuff. All right. Well, we've got another great segment of Startup Nation Radio coming back after the break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, great edition of Startup Nation Radio. We heard a great story of a couple of entrepreneurs who did not get their funding on Shark Tank, but these guys are going to make it. They're undaunted and eager and driven as can be, Norm. They're going to make it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a great concept, yep. Great product.
Yep. Well, and it all starts with an entrepreneur having an idea, an entrepreneur building a business plan, thinking about how he or she is going to get funding for that great idea. And we've got in studio Nicole Mangus from an event that's coming up next weekend that we want to feature on Startup Nation Radio. We think it's one of those opportunities where entrepreneurs can figure out how to get going in the right direction. Nicole, welcome to the show. Welcome in studio.
Good to have you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited. I think this is a great segue, what we've been talking about with Shark Tank, to talk about Startup Weekend.
It's called Startup Weekend. That's the name of the event.
Yep. Startup Weekend, and to start at that really high level, Startup Weekend is essentially a part of a global network, which is Up Global. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of different resources that kind of help local level, community-based entrepreneurs really get kind of their feet on the ground and doing some fun entrepreneurial things and get their start. And so Startup Weekend is just one of those initiatives that are across the world. There's over 500 events, over 120 countries, 30 languages.
And this goes all weekend. I mean, right? You it's a 54 hours? Is that
yep,
what it is?
Yep, 54 hour business competition. So that's a simple way to look at it, is it's just a business competition. But looking beyond that, it's a really great way for you to get your feet wet in entrepreneurship. So I kind of think of Startup Weekend as welcoming people that are in the fringe of social enterprise or startup week or on the fringe of entrepreneurship,
uh-huh.
Excuse me,
yep, yep,
to kind of get involved in an event that allows them to kind of go through the motions of what it's like to run your own business or take an idea from just that ideation stage all the way to launching a business.
So tell us how it works. Is it courses? Is it,
no,
you talk, this part contest? It's part, what can someone expect?
Yeah, so Friday night you come together. You can either pitch an idea or you can just watch. But once people pitch their ideas on Friday night, we kind of have all the observers, participants vote on all of those ideas, and by popular vote we take those ideas, form teams around them, and over the course of the weekend those teams launch and develop that minimum viable product to launch the business on Sunday. And on Sunday you pitch your idea in front of a panel of judges.
That's really cool. It's a great way to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where is this?
We're hosting it at the Ford Resource and Engagement Center, which is in Southwest Detroit, right by the Welcome Center off 75.
How so much, if anybody wants to come do this, they could still do this?
Oh yeah, this is open to everybody. So we have over the past 7 years done Startup Weekend in Detroit, and this year is our first ever doing a special startup vertical, which is social enterprise. So we're looking for anybody that has an interest in starting a business or an interest in kind of looking for talent over the weekend, because this is a great opportunity if you
for
own
sure.
a business to network and get
and
access.
And how much is a ticket?
$99, yep. And you can register or find out more information at detroit.up.co.
There we go, detroit.up.co. For anyone out there who's interested in being part of this, I think it's a really great thing. Well, maybe we'll check with you after the event and find out how it all went, hear about some of the pitches, maybe hear about some of the business ideas that emerged. That's always so interesting.
Yeah, the past couple years, we've had a lot of great companies spin out of Startup Weekend, and usually after a weekend, 36% of the companies that are kind of taking first, second, or third place on a Sunday night event, they're still in operations 3 months after, and most kind of carry the torch beyond that. So
well, great.
We're looking to see what kind of do good businesses spin out of this and how they can kind of start solving some social problems.
Wonderful.
And make money.
This is great. What a great opportunity. So check it out again. The website address one more time
is detroit.up.co.
All right, Nicole, thanks so much for being on, and thanks so much for putting on such an important event here for the entrepreneurial community. Well, speaking of events, we've also got joining us on the line, Tom Sesti. Tom, we just had a Shark Tank-like event that you put together in the Detroit area about a week ago or so. We just wanted to check back with you, Tom. You were on the air to announce the event ahead of time. How'd it go?
It was fantastic. Thanks for having me back on. And Jeff, thanks for sitting on the panel. It,
yep.
it was a great event. We had a packed room. We had a packed experience panel. Like I said, from VC to, you know, some real crowdfunding experts in there, and we got to do some pitches.
Hey, Tom, you're calling in on a cell phone. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I don't know. Maybe if are you moving around, or can you get in one spot for a second?
No, I'm sitting pretty still. Unfortunately,
right, okay.
I'm up in northern Michigan.
Okay, so. Hey, are you kidding me? Unfortunately, good for you. Good for you. No, we're here. You're fine right now. Just don't move. Don't move.
Okay.
We want to hear about. So you were saying there's everything from venture capitalists to angel groups to other types of financing, and of course, I did get to serve on the panel. And you know, I'll tell you, I thought it was a great event, and I thought there were actually some, you know, like any of these things, there were ideas in various stages, but there were two or three or four that emerged like, you know, that's kind of interesting. I mean, legitimately.
Yeah, I thought so, too. The one that stood out the most to me, I would say, was Seaside Service. You know, there
Sorry.
Me, guy. I'm sorry.
No, Tom, try that one more time. Let's go. The one that stood out the most was which one to you?
Seaside Service.
Seaside Service, right.
Yep. They were the guys where if you're in a stadium or at an event, you can order drinks or food or whatever you need from your, you know, from your seat to be delivered to you.
Right. It was a new app, a gentleman by the name of Barack. He pitched. I remember it well, and I agree with you. That would be on my list, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was probably one of the ones furthest along from a revenue standpoint, which was great. He already had customers, already had revenue.
It's Barack Leibowitz.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yep. He was on his game. He gave a great pitch. He knew exactly what he wanted to say, and you know, conveyed that sense of confidence about his business. I agree with you. He had a great pitch, and you know, and it ranged from, in that case, that's an app, but there were, you know, consumer products being pitched. There were service businesses being pitched. There were biotech business. There were B2B. There was a really cool hardware business on the B2B side, a fastener business that I thought had a lot of merit. You know, it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Railmar was the fastener business. You had LifeBrush, which was the consumer product and technology, so you can see where you've brushed and to be able to see where the bacteria has been eliminated. So
the toothbrush, yep.
Yeah.
You know, we could have some of those successes on the air, Jeff.
Well, we will, and I'll tell you, I happen to know that two or three of those ideas beyond the event are getting, I mean, I'll tell you, I've got pitches in my email inbox that I'm going to take a serious look at and have started to. And I know there were other investors on the panel that are as well. I'll bet there's going to be a couple of success stories that, you know, some funding does change hands and what a wonderful thing, you know? I mean,
well, it highlights the talent in Detroit and all these young people doing these great things, just like Josh and Tony today.
And Tom and Nicole with events like
that. Nicole's events, yeah.
That's connecting. You know, it's so hard to go out and get audience with a VC or an angel investor for the average entrepreneur. And here you've got your shot, and it's going to pay off for a couple of them, and that's what it's all about. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Well, Tom, thanks so much. Is it going to be an annual event, right?
Yeah, actually, a quarterly event. So we're going to rotate them around the state quarterly. So we're really excited. We'll be announcing our next one here. It'll be coming up about 3-4 months. We'll be announcing that here in the next few weeks.
Okay, and so if someone wants to track that and be able to be ahead of the curve and make sure they're ready, how do they find you? How do they find out about it?
They can go to
FundingPost.com. Try that one more time.
FundingPost.com.
Yeah, FundingPost.com. That's exactly right. Okay, so good. Check out FundingPost.com. Another event coming up in a few months, and they'll be quarterly. And great show. Great show. Tom, by the way, thanks, and enjoy your time this weekend. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you coming on. And Nicole, thanks for coming in and talking to us about your upcoming event. We'll check back with you as we did with Tom. Make sure you call in from a landline. It's one of the rules of being on the show, except if you're in Northern Michigan and you're Tom Sesti, who's worth having on the show, even though we only heard a portion of what he said.
Yeah, we'll have to instruct them to be on landlines in the future.
We will indeed, and we will. We usually do. We made an exception this time. And actually, as Paul, our great producer, Paul Bologna, teed him up, the reception was perfect before the show.
Right.
So we thought we could pull it off. But in any case,
you got it.
Hey, it's live
him.
Radio. Yep. We know that. Live radio, right? There's no question about that. Listen, speaking of Paul Bologna, it's great Memorial Day weekend here on Startup Nation Radio. We want to thank Paul. We also want to thank our great friend Rich Luzinski, who does the engineering for the show and does a wonderful, wonderful job for us. We really appreciate it. Our good friends at WJR, the whole team. And Norm, great having you on.
Yeah, very good show.
Very good show. And sponsored by Comerica Bank, Pappas Financial. As it will be next Saturday, we'll be back again with another great edition of Startup Nation Radio. And I know all your great entrepreneurs out there. Now, here's a hallmark. Here's how you know if you're serious about it. Enjoy your weekend, but make sure you put a little time in on your business plan or your elevator pitch so you're ready to go. Take some time to do a little work this weekend, right, Norm?
Yep.
But enjoy it, too. Okay, great. Thanks for being with us on this edition. We'll be back next week on Startup Nation Radio.